Here's a variety of ways people are being given suggestion, conditioned, managed, or controlled continually, and how they have been throughout time. All of these methods would fall under the umbrella term of hypnosis, which of course is being open to suggestion. By describing the many ways people have and are being hypnotized on a daily basis and how they work, you will not only be more in control of your own life, but may find additional techniques to add to your sessions to assist your clients. Just as all clients are different, it helps to have a variety of tools available to help them. Understanding the following methods will not only help you to assist your clients, but will also help you to understand how they may have gotten the way they are. It will help you to open your eyes, perhaps for the first time, to seeing things that you may have never noticed before. Most people's lives are guided primarily by their past conditioning, by their experiences. Many are not even aware that they can be in control of their reality, so they allow life to guide them by default. It's as if they were living life with their eyes closed or asleep. This lesson will show you how to be awake in a sleeping world. So let's get started. One of the most prevalent areas of suggestibility can be found in advertising and sales. You are continually being bombarded with suggestions on the television, radio, newspapers, billboards, store windows, magazines, on drink coasters, on the clothes that you wear, on your computers, your cell phone screens, department stores, malls, and supermarkets, just to name a few. There is virtually no place you can go where you are not subject to advertising suggestions. All advertising is hypnosis, as it is designed to sell a product to use through suggestion. Therefore, you are either being open or accepting of the advertising, or you are rejecting it. These suggestions may be flagrantly flashed in front of you as huge billboards, or passively suggested through your peripheral vision as signs and store windows as you drive by. How often in the course of the day are you a victim of advertising suggestibility? Number 2, autosuggestion. Autosuggestion is used as a method of accepting suggestions through repetition. One of the most common forms of autosuggestion is the repetition of positive sayings or slogans, such as one of the most common ones created by French psychologist Emile Coué. It goes, "Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better." Coué was one of the earliest pioneers of autosuggestion and wrote about it extensively. You can read more about him in the Who's Who in your hypnosis manual. Autosuggestion is used in many walks of life as a means of developing a positive mental attitude. It can be seen effectively used in many sales organizations. A more recent well-known figure who used autosuggestion extensively to build a multi-million-dollar empire is the late W. Clement Stone. Within one of his companies, it was common practice for the employees to create autosuggestion slogans and paste them throughout their homes so they can be seen and repeated on a constant basis. One of the most popular auto-suggestion slogans that Stone is known for is, "If there is nothing to lose by trying, and a great deal to gain if successful, by all means try." Number 3, brainwashing. Brainwashing refers to a process in which a group of individuals systematically manipulates others to conform to the wishes of the manipulator, usually in unethical ways, and often to the detriment of the person being manipulated. The study of brainwashing falls under the category of social influence. Social influence happens every minute of every day. It's the collection of ways in which people can change other people's attitudes, beliefs, and behavior. There's three basic components of brainwashing. First, is the compliance method, which aims to produce a change in the behavior, the person's behavior, and is not concerned with his attitude or his belief. It's the just do it approach. The second is the persuasion method, which aims for a change in attitude, or the do it because it makes you feel good type response. The third is the education or propaganda method, which tries to affect a change in the person's belief along the lines of do it because you know it's the right thing to do. Brainwashing is a severe form of social influence that combines all three methods without that person's consent and often against his will. Because brainwashing is such a strong form of influence, it requires isolation and dependency of the subject. The brainwasher must have complete control over the subject so that his sleep patterns, eating, use of the bathroom, and any other basic human needs are dependent on the manipulator. The brainwasher systematically breaks down the subject's identity to the point where it can be replaced with another set of behaviors, attitudes, and beliefs that work to the brainwasher's benefit. Number four, this one covers quite a few techniques: chanting, drumming, dancing, and group frenzy, such as in firewalking. The continuous repetition of mantras or chanting are used in meditation and religious or ritual ceremonies. It's said that chanting is a primitive way of altering the consciousness and raising psychic energy. Chanting, which is an ancient and universal practice, can be done with drumming, clapping, and musical instruments. They are designed to raise the emotions to a level that is so high that frenzied states of consciousness occur. This can be seen as far back as in ancient times, when a warring faction would beat drums and dance until in a frenzy before entering a battle. And in common times, it's practiced, as I mentioned earlier, in the practice of firewalking. This frenzy causes a rise in adrenaline in the participants and causes the individuals within the group to do things like taking part in an angry mob or a riot, which they would not normally do on their own. Number five, closing your eyes. You know, the art of simply closing your eyes blocks out approximately 80% of beta activity. Beta is the non-hypnotic state that people are in during work or activities where the mind is busy. Of course, blocking out 80% of beta activity brings you into the alpha brainwave state, which is the most common and preferred state for hypnosis. This is why most hypnosis sessions are conducted with the eyes closed, and by having your client take 3 breaths before every session, they will enter into this hypnotic state even more. Number 6, classic conditioning. Classic conditioning is also known as Pavlovian reinforcement. It is a form of associative learning that was first developed by Ivan Pavlov. The typical procedure of classic conditioning involves presenting a neutral stimulus along with a stimulus of significance in a means to create the same response to the neutral symbol as to the significant one. One of the most famous examples of this classic conditioning involved the salivating of Pavlov's dog. In this experiment, Pavlov noticed that whenever his dog was in the presence of meat powder, that the dogs began to salivate as an unconditioned response to the powder, as well as to the lab technician who was conducting the test. Since the lab technician was associated with the meat powder, many times just by seeing the technician, the dogs would begin to salivate. During the same experiment, Pavlov used a bell to call the dogs to their food. After a few repetitions of doing this, the dogs would begin to salivate simply as a response to hearing the bell as well. Pavlov noticed that rather than simply salivating in the presence of the meat powder, that the dogs began to salivate in the presence of the lab technician who normally fed them. From this observation, he predicted that if a particular stimulus in the dog's surroundings were present when the dog was presented with meat powder, then the stimulus would become associated with food and cause salivation on its own. In his initial experiment, Pavlov used a bell to call the dogs to their food, and after a few repetitions, the dog started to salivate in response to the bell. How has your life been conditioned to associate items or even people with specific emotions? Think of how you can use the same technique to help people to eliminate fear, stress, and tension from their lives. Imagine being able to associate something that causes stress to something that causes extreme pleasure or relaxation. Number 7, the confusional technique. This technique was spoken of earlier in this lesson as a method to hypnotize analytical subjects. See Chapter 8 of your hypnosis manual titled Analytical Vehicles, which are the tools used to keep the subject's mind busy while suggestions are being delivered. This is very similar to trying to have a conversation while you're doing your taxes. While you're focusing on completing your taxes, everything else that is being said in a conversation is bypassing your conscious mind and being accepted by the subconscious. This confusional technique works on everyone all the time, as anyone can be kept busy or confused. But even though it works on everyone, keep in mind that anyone can resist hypnosis or suggestions if they choose to do so. Number 8, counter-suggestion. A counter-suggestion is given to oppose or rebut the effect of a previously given suggestion. Although the counter-suggestion is in opposition of the initial suggestion, the counter-suggestion is also a suggestion as well that will be accepted by the individual giving it. Therefore, it is still included in the definition of hypnosis. So even in the process of resisting a hypnotic suggestion, most people are still accepting hypnotic suggestions given by themselves. Number 9, critical mass. Critical mass is a state of mind associated with the high beta brainwave state, which can be measured by a speed of higher than 21 cycles per second or above 25 Hz. This is a state where the subject becomes so confused or overwhelmed due to their level of high beta activity that they can become just as suggestible as they would if they were in delta. This practice is used extensively as a way of conditioning in sports, the military, and even in some business applications. It is a state of mind where you are so focused on your project that you cannot see what's going on around you. It can also result in slowness or loss of memory for the same reason. Too much time in critical mass can cause highly nervous behavior, obsessive compulsive behavior, lead to fear, anxiety, or paranoia. Number 10, daydreaming. Daydreaming is an occurrence that happens between the alpha and theta brainwave state. It is interesting to note that if daydreaming occurs while still in alpha, the person dreaming will remember their dreams and will realize approximately how long they have been dreaming. However, if the daydreaming occurs while they're more relaxed in the theta brainwave state, the person will not remember their dreams and will also have a sense of lost time. The reason for this is that theta brainwave state is where amnesia begins. This is the same explanation why so many people do not remember their dreams while they're sleeping as well in the evening. They're in theta, they're too deep. If they were sleeping lighter in the alpha state, they would remember their dreams. Daydreaming normally occurs as an automatic or uncontrolled function when a person seems to be bored or tired. However, it can be obtained deliberately through the use of controlled imagination. It can be used to deliver hypnotic suggestions simply by relaxing and imagining the end result of whatever it is you would like to be hypnotized for. Number 11, anesthesia. The use of pharmaceuticals for anesthesia is also a way of attaining the hypnotic state. A patient under anesthesia would be experiencing a brainwave state ranging from theta to delta. There has been much controversy and litigation within the medical community surrounding the area of suggestions that have been given to patients while under anesthesia during operations or procedures. When a patient is undergoing a procedure under anesthesia, their mind is extremely open to suggestion. Therefore, while in this state of mind, if the surgeon makes random statement about how they feel the patient's chances are, the patient will usually respond to these suggestions, whether they be positive or negative. Many hospital operating and emergency rooms now include audio and video recording devices to ensure that these negative type statements are not used. Some hospitals even play soothing music during the procedure, and many will even allow hypnosis CDs to be played during the procedure, and in many cases even allow a hypnotherapist to be present to deliver positive suggestions. Number 12, emergency hypnosis. Emergency hypnosis has also been covered in an earlier lesson, and this technique can be reviewed in your hypnosis manual in Chapter 14, titled Instant and Rapid Inductions. The reason why instant inductions work so effectively with emergency hypnosis is that the client is much more motivated than they would be in any other situation. An example would be if you came across a car accident where someone were lying down in the middle of the street in extreme pain. That person is highly motivated to do whatever it takes to eliminate that pain. We have trained many EMTs and medical professionals in these techniques. Please keep in mind that emergency hypnosis should only be conducted by those professionals who are qualified to do so and also have medical degrees. It is imperative for the safety purposes of both you and the client that you work within your realm of practice. Number 13, Ericksonian hypnosis. Ericksonian hypnosis was created by Milton Erickson, who is a psychiatrist and psychotherapist specializing in medical hypnosis and family therapy. Erickson recognized that resistance to hypnosis is very similar to resistance to change and developed his approach with that awareness. Here are three basic areas that constitute Ericksonian hypnosis. The first is encouraging resistance. Erickson was not a fan of the classic therapy requesting clients to tell him everything that was going on in their lives. Instead, he would ask them to specifically withhold information and only tell them what they really wanted to. He realized that there were many things that the client did not want to speak about, that there were many things that were of a personal nature that were uncomfortable or embarrassing to discuss. But he understood that there were certain things that the client did not mind speaking about, such as the specific reasons they came to see him for. Therefore, he would give the client the permission to only speak about what they wanted to speak about and to withhold anything they did not want to speak about. What he found was that once the client had finished speaking about what they wanted to speak about, that they had actually spoken about everything they wanted to, as well as the things that they wanted to withhold initially. This hypnotic procedure eliminated the negativity that a client feels by having to be forced to speak about things that they don't want to. The "you can't make me" reaction, which is also known as the polarity response. Also realizing that the mind does not understand negative, he would use techniques like telling the client that they do not have to go in hypnosis right now, or they did not have to relax right now. That releases the negativity from the client's conscious mind. However, the subconscious, not understanding the negative statements, is only accepting going into hypnosis right now and relaxing right now. Therefore, the mind would react to these commands without restriction. The second technique, which is also extensively used in the area of sales today, is known as the double blind statement. This would be giving the client a choice of two things which would both benefit you. Things like, do you want to go in hypnosis now or later? Would you like to quit smoking today or tomorrow? In sales, would you like to buy the small one or the large one? You can see there are many areas in all walks of life where these types of statements can be very advantageous. The third and probably the most well-known Ericksonian technique is the use of metaphors or stories to give suggestions. These can be seen quite extensively in nursery rhymes, fairy tales, fables, bedtime stories, religious texts to include the teachings of the Sufis, Buddha, the Quran, and in Bible parables, just to name a few. The concept is that people are naturally resistant and when given advice will usually resist. That's the nature of the conscious mind. However, if they were to hear a story of someone else who used this advice in a challenging situation that greatly succeeded in their life or triumphed, the client will associate with this person and subconsciously accept this advice as their own. It's a way of being told what to do without being in the hot seat yourself. Number 14, faith healing. Faith healing is based on the use of instant inductions, expectancy, and belief. People are coming to these gatherings are aware that many people before them have been healed, which begins the expectancy and belief process. Once they arrive and see the first two or three people being instantly healed, this acts as a catalyst to build enough expectancy and belief in the client that they can imagine themselves being healed as well. Remember, imagination is the catalyst to all healing. Now, in reference to those first three people that were healed, whether they were actually sick people who were indeed healed by the healer, or if they were simply three con men who simply acted as if they were healed, it wouldn't matter. Whether it was an actual healing or not, as long as it appeared to be, then the placebo effect would be able to take over. The subconscious mind does not understand the difference between a real or imagined memory. They both hold the same value. Therefore, the next person in line who was actually a person with a real disorder can most likely be healed as well because of the expectancy and excitement that he experienced of the three people that came before him. The type of excitement generated in these gatherings are very contagious. This group frenzy alone, as spoken of earlier in this lesson, is a huge factor in the success of the individual healing. Don't dismiss these type of gatherings as showmanship or entertainment. They are real events that actually help many people. They are based on faith or belief of the client and the success in the showmanship of the person conducting the event. When I say showmanship, I'm speaking more of their ability to build expectancy and faith in the client that they can be healed. This is the exact same thing that you need to do in your hypnosis sessions. From the moment that your client knocks on your door, he's afraid. From that point right up until the session, you are using your own showmanship. You are building their expectancy and their belief that you can help them. That's imperative. Number 15, fear. Fear is a very effective catalyst in many forms of hypnotic conditioning. It has been used since the beginning of mankind in the areas of organizing, conditioning, and keeping large numbers of population in control. It is used by governments, educational institutions, religions, the military, and sales, and countless other areas that require the soliciting of suggestions. How many times may you have purchased an item because the advertisement said there was only one left, or the sale is ending on a certain date? One area this process is used quite successfully is in car sales. It seems like each holiday, car dealers have the best possible sale with the biggest discounts if you come in within the next 2 days to purchase. They get many customers rushing into their showrooms this way. The funny thing about it is that this same sale is advertised on virtually every single holiday of the year. How many organizations have rules that you must abide by or pay a certain consequence of loss of money, freedom, services, association with others, or even incarceration? Fear is a great motivator to keep people in line and obeying the rules. Number 16, forensic hypnosis. Forensic hypnosis can be simply explained as being a detective in the client's mind. You would be utilizing basic detective-type techniques to find lost items, lost information, to relive previous situations such as accidents or even crimes. Keep in mind, though, that as of the creation of this audio, hypnosis is presently not accepted in court by most states and other countries. However, even though it's not acceptable as a fact in court, it can shed a lot of light on a situation. The reason for this is due to the possibility of confabulation. If you don't understand confabulation, that's a good word to look up in your manual definition section. Keep in mind that people are not bound to tell you the truth under hypnosis. In fact, most people are better liars in hypnosis than when they are not. We'll be speaking more about the business of forensic hypnosis in an upcoming lesson, and you can learn many of the regression techniques used in this procedure in your hypnosis manual rather than discussing them all here. Number 17, which is known as the Hawthorne effect. This effect describes a temporary change in the behavior of the client in response to a change in the improved environment of the surrounding of the observed. You could see this positive change by observing a client who enters an inviting, comfortable, or successful-oriented office. Improvements in the workplace, as simple as increasing the lighting, a new paint job, maybe a clean workstation, and even playing motivational music can increase the worker's performance temporarily. Thus, the term is used to identify any type of short-lived increase in productivity. In short, people will be more productive when appreciated or when watched. Number 18, the hearing impaired method. Recently, I've had the opportunity to teach a student to become a hypnotherapist that was a deaf mental health counselor. Not only did she graduate with flying colors, but she's now running a very successful hypnosis practice for the deaf in Pennsylvania. One of the most important lessons that I took away from this experience is that being hypnotized or given suggestions is not limited to one's voice. Suggestions can be given by reading lips, through sign language, and through reading and writing, which you'll learn more about in just a few moments in this lesson. Anything that causes you to create imagination, to create a picture, is a form of hypnosis. And sign language does that great. Number 19, holistic healing. There's many different forms of holistic and alternative healing, and yes, they are all based on the power of suggestion. In order for someone to heal, they need to be given the suggestion to do so. They need to believe that it can happen, and they need to be able to imagine it happening. These are all steps in the hypnotic process, therefore all holistic and alternative healing come under the hypnosis umbrella. Now you're beginning to see just how big this hypnosis actually is. It's not just limited to the old stereotypes of the past. Anything having to do with suggestibility or imagination would be considered a form of hypnosis. Number 20, music. The hypnotic effect of music is quite evident and can be seen in the actions of the listeners who enjoy the many different venues available. Take a moment to think of the contrast of the people's behavior to the following types of music. Those who listen to opera, symphony, or meditation music as compared to rap, rock and roll, or metal. I'm sure you can imagine quite a different contrast. Music affects the person in so many different ways. What would it be like to hear heavy metal in a church, during a massage, or in a grocery store? What kind of music do you enjoy when you relax or meditate? How about when you go out dancing or to concerts? Some raise your vibrations and others slow it down. Knowing this, that'll help you to understand what kind of music to use in your practice. You don't need to use music while you're doing a session, but it does help to, number one, break up outside sounds, and number two, to relax your client. Number 21, the placebo effect. A placebo can be a substance or medicine that is inert or having no effective value, such as a sugar pill, what some would call a dummy drug, that is substituted for an actual medicine without the knowledge of the patient. Or it can be a procedure which a patient accepts as a cure for a condition which has no actual merit but is assured that it will work by a person in authority such as a doctor. They are based on the power of suggestion, belief, and imagination. The placebo effect occurs when the patient's symptoms are altered in some way by a treatment due to the individual expecting or believing that it will work. The result would be that of a positive response or recovery, or the same success that the proper drug or treatment would have produced. An example would be a doctor giving his client a sugar pill and telling him that it is the most effective cure available for migraines, and the migraine going away in a very short time. Here's an interesting fact. The Latin translation for placebo is, "I will please." Number 22. This is called a nocebo. The nocebo effect was used to label the harmful or undesirable reactions that a subject receives as a result of administering the placebo or the dummy drug. These results had not been chemically generated and were entirely due to the subject's belief and expectation that the placebo drug would produce harmful or undesired consequences. So when reading the label on any kind of pharmaceutical and you see all the negative side effects that could have taken place, you take the placebo pill and you start experiencing those negative side effects, that would be a nocebo. Even though there is no real drug involved, the actual harmful or unpleasant result to the drug are very real. Another interesting fact, the term nocebo in Latin is "I will harm." Number 23, post-hypnotic suggestion. Simply put, any suggestion that is given to be acted upon after the session or the suggestion has been given would constitute a post-hypnotic suggestion. Now, since you cannot be given a suggestion to do something yesterday or a couple hours ago, then every suggestion would be a post-hypnotic suggestion by definition. A post-hypnotic suggestion could last as long as it seems convenient to the subject. For instance, if you were given a suggestion to scream at the top of your lungs every 3 minutes, that probably wouldn't last very long, maybe until you left the room or went into a public place, because you wouldn't want to be screaming in public. However, if you were given a suggestion that you would never smoke again, and you never do, then that suggestion lasted a lifetime. This concludes the first audio on hypnotic methods. Go to the next audio to hear the other half. Thank you.